Om Shanti. In Madhuban, we have an opportunity to do many things, to process many things. And I always find that whatever comes in front of me, everywhere generally, but specifically in Madhuban, it's always something that I have to look at for my own self. And in fact, this topic for this class was suggested a few days ago by someone who I've known for many, many years, who've seen me come into Gyan and grow up in Gyan. And they suggested that it would be a good topic for me to take up, because as I said, they've seen me grow up in Gyan from knowing nothing to now learning a lot. And then also, I suppose, being able to use that for our service and for helping others. And so I think the idea initially had been for this topic that, well, how can we be more useful in terms of what can we do in terms of being aware of our specialities so that we can be helpful to Baba. And today when I started to think about the subject, actually I began to think about it in a very different way, in that I began to experience and I began to see that being useful to Baba doesn't simply mean doing service, inverted commas, in the sense that, well, I can do this and I can do that, being capable, perhaps that's the right word, being useful to Baba doesn't necessarily simply mean being capable or realizing your capabilities, your abilities. Because we have many capabilities, many abilities in terms of what we can do practically. Being aware of our specialities. And yes, of course, that in itself is a whole journey that we begin to embark upon as soon as we embark on the field of service. What am I good at? What can I do? What can I not do? How good I am at something? Or how interested I am in doing something is such an important thing. Sometimes we have an attraction of doing something, a specific task or a role, and sometimes we feel that we don't have the capabilities that are required to play a specific role. So all of that is one aspect of being useful to God. And definitely for me, in that area, in that aspect of being useful to God, what I have found extremely helpful is that none of us come with any of the talents actually that Baba wants. The way in which Baba wants the talents and specialities, none of us have them when we come to Baba. We might be experiencing a worldly sense, but actually, by using simply that on its own isn't necessarily going to allow me to be successful in service. What I mean by that is, I don't know, let's say I am logically trained at facilitating groups or workshops. It's something that many of us get involved in doing. So, I can be very good at facilitating workshops here, either in Brahmin family or in public talks or whatever, right? Is it enough? Is it enough to just logically know how to manage people? I don't think so. It'll work for a while. You will enjoy doing it for a while. But unless you bring the element of spirituality in what you do, you cannot become successful in the service that you do. Let's say, so I have the talent of facilitating and I'm useful to Baba for that reason, because I'm very good at taking up a subject and dissecting it and, you know, stimulating other people's intellects. But there's two ways of doing it. One is that I can stimulate people's intellects. I can stimulate people's intellects, and that's good. But unless I bring the element of spirituality, firstly, initially, in my own self, through my ability to be soul conscious, through my ability to be with Baba, as I do service, people will not be served spiritually. So yes, people have come to Baba's house, they have received Gyan, but how far has that gone in enabling them to implement that in their lives? So on the one hand, on the surface, it seems like I'm useful to Baba. I can do a lot of things. I can keep myself busy at weekends, in the evenings, teaching and facilitating and all of these kinds of things. So to me, to my clever intellect, I'm very good. I'm very useful. But unless that element of spirituality is in it, how useful am I really? Was Baba able to work through me? Were others able to feel God's presence through my words? Were others inspired to create a spiritual lifestyle for themselves through my own sharing, through my own my own ability to bring spirituality home to them? Do you see what I'm trying to say? And this distinction I'm trying to make between having the ability to do something and then having the ability to allow God to use me. And so when today I started to think about this subject, I didn't focus too much on that, because we're very good at that, aren't we? We're very good at physically doing things, even tasks. If something needs to be done physically, we can be in there and get on with it and achieve something. I've performed a task, whatever it might be, that task. But I was thinking about it in a different way, in the sense that to be useful to God, what does it really mean? To me, it means that whenever Baba wants to use me, however Baba wants to use me, to whatever extent Baba wants to use me, to do whatever He wants to do, I am ready and available. And it's not just a question of saying, okay, here I am, Baba, use me. And that isn't going to be enough, because a workman, a carpenter, or anybody who wants to use different tools, different tools perform different tasks. And that tool has to be ready to be applied for the task that it needs to be available for. You can't just have one tool, and physically, you can't have just one tool and it's not going to be able to do every task. But yet the beauty and the uniqueness about the soul, about the children of God, about an intellect that is open to receive God's guidance, or an intellect that is available to be a tool for God, can do anything, anytime, any place, anywhere. And if I want to become such a tool for God, if I want to be useful in that way, then I need to do a certain amount of work to become that tool. And I suppose the best example for that is, guess who? No prizes for guessing. Brahma Baba. Imagine Brahma Baba and his position, and I don't mean position in terms of status. I mean in terms of, you know, this idea that Baba puts forward to us in Sakar Muralis, that he was just going along minding his own business, and suddenly he was grabbed. He was caught hold of by God. And then from that moment on, he became available. He became everything that Shiv Baba needed him to be. And, you know, sometimes when this idea of being an instrument comes up, or sometimes when this idea of being available to Baba comes up, it's not a passive state in which I just sit and that's it, okay Baba, use me. It's not like that. Not quite like that. It's not enough to be like that. Sometimes it is. Sometimes I just have to say, okay Baba, take it. Take it away. And I have the experience of that when really you find yourself in a situation where you have absolutely no idea what to do. You didn't prepare to get to that situation, but here you are suddenly in this situation and you don't know what to do, how to do it, and where to proceed in this particular situation. So you say, okay Baba, I really don't know what to do here. You better help me. You do something. And something happens, and he does. Either you know, someone comes along to guide you to say, okay, do it like this, like this, like this, or you have a touching and you know exactly what to do at that moment in time. And I think all of us have experience of that, right? Everybody has an experience of that. And that's such an intoxicating experience. But that comes spasmodically. It comes from time to time. But I can't sit back for it to happen all the time. A good student is one who studies well so that when the exam comes, he's prepared. A good tool is a tool that's sharpened on a regular basis so that when the carpenter wants to use the tool, it's ready, it's hanging there, but it's sharp so that it can be used at that moment in time. If you just keep the tool, it's not going to work. It will go rusty, you won't know where it is, or any of those things. And so there's a certain amount of work that we have to do. But I think that the work is not so difficult and complicated. It's not work that I have to sit and rack my brains with to say, well, what shall I do and how should I do it and all of that. As I said, Brahma Baba, instantly, first thing that Brahma Baba did, what did he do when Shiv Baba entered the body of Brahma? The first thing he did was that he became totally accepting of his role, totally accepting of what he had to do. And that was simply to be out of the picture. In the sense that first thing that Brahma Baba had to do, imagine he was 60 years of age. We know that Brahma Baba was not an ordinary personality. A very clever man, very successful in the Laukik world, very experienced in many ways. He knew. He was very learned in terms of scriptures. He had a respectable position in the society. And yet here, suddenly, you know, the good thing about the easy part for us is that there is something in front of us. In the sense that there's a piece of paper in the form of Murali telling us, an outside source, what we have to do and what we mustn't do and how we have to be. Whereas for Brahma Baba, everything was coming inside of himself. In the sense that there was nothing outside, there was no person outside of him. He wasn't able to see someone speaking and therefore hearing another voice except the voice that was coming from his own mouth, a voice that was coming from his own lips. A tool that was being used in his case was also the tool of his own intellect that Shiv Baba was using to express himself. And yet, he had to, or he did, very easily and naturally separate what was him and what was Shiv Baba. And this is quite an amazing thing when you think about it. For us it should be so easy to understand the difference between the two. And yet, our big E gets in the way. And we're not able to differentiate between what is my idea and what is an idea that comes from Baba. And so, Brahma Baba instantly putting aside himself by accepting that he was an instrument for Shiv Baba. And in doing so, how do we accept in this way? How is it practically working for us? And I feel that the way in which we can understand is that whatever it is that comes our way, whatever it is that we find ourselves, situations that we find ourselves in, we have to learn to accept those situations. For us, the parameters are very clear. Srimat is very clear. The code of conduct is very clear. When I stay within the parameters of Srimat, when I stay within the code of conduct and the discipline that is set out for me, then I am in Baba's orbit, so to speak. And you know the idea of orbit, right? When a plane flies, then it's connected to its satellite station in such a way that it's able to receive the signals. If it goes outside of that line or whatever it's called, then it no longer receives the signals. And if, in order for us to be able to receive or catch Baba's signals and ideas, we must make sure that we stay within the orbit. And the orbit that is very clear for us is the orbit of Srimat, the orbit of discipline, the orbit of the code of conduct that is set out for us. And this is something very interesting, I thought, simply because when we follow the code of conduct and the Srimat, two things happen. One is that we are able to develop self-respect. You know, I cannot be useful for Baba if I don't have self-respect. Why is that? Because, you know, lack of self-respect or inferiority complex, in the sense that I'm no good, I can't do this, I don't know how to do it, all of this is actually an inverted form of ego and self-centeredness. When I do this, or when I develop this kind of consciousness, then actually here's Baba knocking away at my door saying, hey, open the door, I'm here, hey, open the door. And I say, no, the door is very locked, very tightly locked. There's Baba knocking at my door, open, open, I'm going to show you, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to guide you. And I say, no, I don't want to learn. No, I don't want to know how to do this. And I'm so caught up inside myself that Baba can't use me. Baba wants to use me. He can see through what is on the surface and he can say, this one, you, I'm going to use you. You are useful for me. I can see the potential of what you can do. But when I say, no, I can't do this, I don't know how to do it, then the door remains very tightly shut. And I can't see it. And so this kind of lack of self-respect is actually a huge, huge hindrance in me being available to Baba. Me being useful to Baba. So even if I can't do something, anything, I have to say, if the situation presents itself to me, if the opportunity presents itself to me, I don't say, well, I can't do it, so no thank you, bye. But I say, okay, I don't know how to do this, or I haven't done it before, but how can I prepare myself to do this? Whatever task it might be. Whatever. But of course, if I choose for whatever reason and say, no, I don't want to do this or I can't do it, then that's a different thing. But if a situation presents itself to me and I say, all right, I will do the work that is necessary from my side, on my part, to do what is asked of me. This kind of self-respect will only come when I initially simply just follow Srimad. When I follow a code of conduct, the code of conduct that Baba has set out. Because then I begin to see through my practice of soul consciousness, through my surrender to God, through my ability and my practice of being in connection with Baba, I can see my potential. I can cut through what is on the surface, my own self. It's not enough for Baba to cut through for me what is on the surface and see what is beyond. But I have to do my own work of seeing my limitations that are on the surface and be able to see beyond what is on the surface. I have to do that work myself. And it's not hard work. It's not difficult work. But it's just the work of simply making the preparations. And so, first thing is to be able to develop this self-respect by following Srimad, following the code of conduct, and by simply saying yes. And that is by simply being available. Another reason why I thought that it wasn't enough to just, see the capabilities as being available or being useful to God was because what happens sometimes is that I have certain things to do, and for whatever reason, because of Lokic responsibilities or Lokic studies or whatever the reason might be, or I have a household and the things that I have to do, and I've got lots of things to do that I need to do as a responsibility or duty or Lokic commitment, and then at the end of it, I kind of have half an hour left in the day. Or perhaps 2 hours left in the weekend, and I say, I've got 2 hours left, and I'll make these 2 hours available for service. Well, I don't think that's quite being useful to God. Because I've decided what I can do, how much I can do, and what I can do, and then I say, okay, then this is, within that, I tell the sisters in the center, well, I can do this and I can do that and I can do this and I can't do this, this and this. What I'm really saying is I won't do this, this and this. Not I can't do this, this and this. And so, am I really useful? But when I can say, okay, I'm available, and I would like to do service, and I'm prepared to do whatever is necessary. I have these commitments, but I'm prepared to make the time. certain amount of time, please tell me. I'm happy to do whatever is necessary. And so I am being open and I am saying, okay, I will do whatever is necessary, instead of saying, I can do this much at this time, in this way, and to this extent. This is not really being useful to God. This is doing service conveniently, like a bhagat, you know, that goes to the temple to worship and carry out his rituals and feels happy that he's done his 20 minutes of worship every day. He's content. And we can do service in the same way too, saying, well, okay, I've done my little bit and I'm okay. I've fulfilled the fourth subject of the four subjects of Raj Yoga. And yeah, I can, and everybody's happy to some extent and I'm content. And that really is not sufficient in terms of being useful to God. Being useful to Baba. And so coming back to this whole thing of being useful to Baba at any time, any place, anywhere, the preparation of building self-respect, and also the other side of self-respect is being humble. To make sure that that self-respect does not take on a form of ego. It's a very fine line. I know I can do it, and I can do it in this, this, and this way. And I've lost that potential, that ability where I can say, okay, Baba, show me. Come with me. Be with me. Stay with me. Then, actually, I've allowed Baba to work through me. You know, the experience that I find quite often fascinating is where, especially in situations like this, you know, where you have to go to give a talk, and this applies on all levels, I think. It's not just in terms of giving lectures and talks and classes and whatever. It's not something that I do a huge amount, a fair amount, but not a huge amount. But I found over this period of time that I kind of do the work of, you know, having a framework for myself. But if I go to a place, having set out very clearly for myself, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and this, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say that, and I'm going to say the other, every time I do that, I'll go into the situation, and somehow something happens to throw everything out, and I have to come up with something different. But what I have learned to do is where, okay, I have a framework, but go into a group of people and feel the pulse, in the sense that, okay, what do I need? How do I need to be? I don't plan out from A, B, C to Z, because when I do that, I feel so claustrophobic and confined, and I think, wow, it's like too structured. And so what I feel is going to help me is, okay, to be connected, to make sure that I stay connected with Baba, so that whatever souls need, whatever it is that Baba wants to give, is something that is possible. It's possible for that to happen. But if I'm too structured, too tight in my thinking, then I cannot allow that to happen. I have decided. And so this is where the humility part comes in where I say to Baba, okay, Baba, you show me, you teach me, and you guide me. And this really is the preparation that I need to make in order to allow my intellect. And so what happens is that I also use my intellect. The intellect becomes sharp. The whole idea of being within the orbit of Baba also means that I am constantly in the process of using Gyan. If I don't use gyan in my life enough, then my intellect isn't going to be clear enough. My intellect isn't going to be in tune. When I find myself in a situation where I need to apply, then I will be at a loss. If gyan isn't constantly in my intellect, then even if Baba is knocking on the door, I can't pick up the signals. I won't be able to know what it is that I have to do. Gyan prepares the intellect so that the intellect is ready to receive the signals from Baba. Imagine the work that Brahma Baba had to do. Some of the ideas that were coming through him, that are spoken through his own mouth, and yet he's hearing them for the first time. It's actually quite a fascinating process that was happening in Brahma Baba's intellect, in his own mind, as knowledge was being revealed through him. He had to process what Baba was saying himself to be able, when it comes out through his mouth, he identifies with it and everybody else identifies with it too. And that's why it's important to have processed knowledge. Somebody said to me some time ago, in fact it was not a Brahmin, it was a contact, so she said to me, "Do you write?" And I didn't quite understand what she meant to begin with. She said, "I mean, do you write the your experiences?" And I said, "No, I don't." And she was a little bit baffled to begin with. And then she said to me, "Well, how do you process gyan? How do you process?" She didn't use the word gyan, of course, but she knows quite a lot of gyan. But she said, "So how do you process your experiences?" And actually I found that quite interesting. I never really looked at it in that way. And I process. I'm in a fortunate situation where I have the opportunity to share gyan every day. And so as she was asking me that question, I realized that I process knowledge or my experiences, I process gyan through sharing it with other people. And it's such an important thing to do. Because experiences come and you lose them otherwise. Your own experiences also become a way and a method through which Baba communicates with you. And then in turn you communicate with others. And then Baba also communicates to others through you. It's important to process our experiences. So the work that I have to do on my own self is to sharpen my intellect through staying within the orbit, through developing self-respect, through constantly being in connection or being connected with knowledge, so that I'm not becoming passive. Gyan is not about being passive. Look at Dadi Janki. At the age of 90, her intellect is like a 16-year-old. She never becomes passive. She applies her intellect incredibly powerfully and incredibly well and incredibly successfully. And therefore, she uses her intellect to discriminate between right and wrong, between good and bad, between sin and charity. Our intellect must have the ability to do this, so that when I do the right thing, when I do the good thing, when I do the charitable thing, this is when my intellect is appropriate for Baba to use. If my intellect is not thinking in the right way, Baba can't use it. And so the sharpness of the intellect is absolutely essential. And then, again, Brahma Baba's example is incredible in that as soon as Shri Baba entered Brahma Baba, an ordinary person, Brahma Baba became Prajapita, the father of the people. He accepted his role as the father of the people, that every soul that came in front of him, his vision was absolutely equal towards everyone. So that when souls came in front of him, when Shiv Baba had that vision of love and equality towards them, it was able to, Brahma Baba did not become an obstacle, if you like, for those people to cut through, or for Shiv Baba to cut through to give other people an experience of him, of them being the children of God. Is that clear? If Brahma Baba didn't accept his role as the father of the people, if he considered himself an ordinary person, then what would have happened is that, you know, he would see the external, he would become biased in his opinion, he would become judgmental. And then Shri Baba wouldn't be able to work through him. But Brahma Baba accepted his role as the father of the people, and all souls became his children. But Shri Baba was very clever in doing that. He had to make Brahma Baba the father of the people so that when Brahma Baba becomes the father, Shri Baba is also able to play his role of being the father through Brahma. So that everybody feels that they're the children of God through the medium of Brahma Baba. And actually my experience is exactly the same with Dadi Gulzar too. Of course, Dadi Gulzar doesn't think that she is the father of the people or the mother of the people, but Dadi Gulzar's dharna, incredible dharna of being constantly neutral. And having had the fortune of being with her so much, that I have seen her do this. I have seen her being neutral with everyone. I've seen her deal with situations where two people, one a senior, one a junior, there's stuff going on between the two. Both of them are coming to her, you know, telling her their side of the story, and she remains absolutely neutral, supporting both, understanding both, accepting both, guiding both, and never giving them the feeling that she's taking sides. And that's why, even when people come in front of Avyak Bap Dada, people don't have the feeling that Dadi Gulzar is in between. And yet it's very different from the time when people were experiencing Shri Baba through Brahma Baba, and now people experience Bap Dada through Dadi Gulzar. Incredibly different. And yet Dadi Gulzar's dharna in this way is absolutely essential. Essential. So just imagine the dharna that we have to have if souls are going to experience God through us. The dharna of being unbiased, unprejudiced. The dharna of being neutral. His souls are going to experience God through us in a more practical and in a down-to-earth way. In the sense that when we're working and interacting with people, we have to have that love for everyone. And of course, all of us have to cut through our own, and of course I include myself within that, our own preferences and our own desires, our own expectations, to be able to do that. To be able to separate what are my desires and my expectations of other people, of my own self, for Baba to use me. If this desire for the self in any task, in any interaction, in relationships with people, the time when God stops working through us, I feel, is when we start to take things for ourselves. In our relationships with people, whether it's in terms of working relationships that we have with service companions. And if I start to take in those relationships with service companions, you know, whether it's love or whether it's friendship or whether it's companionship or whatever, when I start to feed myself, of course there are souls that we have as friends, but feeding myself, feeding the soul through those friendships other than Baba is a different thing. Our relationships with all souls is very different, I feel. Our love for others can be the same. Our availability for others for each one could be the same. But in terms of the way in which we interact with people is different. Let's face it. Everybody's different. And we see the dadis in this way too. They are different as personalities, as the way in which they interact with others too. And so whilst my relationships with people can be different, but the underlying feeling of love and compassion and availability has to be the same for everyone. What I mean by that is that, you know, if I'm available for anyone, but if people don't want that from me, I'm not going to push it. But it's there. If they show slightest bit of interest, then yes, I can be helpful to them. Equally, there can be a sharing. It's usually a sharing anyway. I never must assume a position of always giving to people, necessarily. And so, that feeling of friendship and being neutral with everyone is important if Baba is going to work through me, if Baba is going to use me. And also in terms of when I'm sharing with other people knowledge, whether it's giving the course or whether it's being with larger group of people, I have to, if I get caught in praise, recognition, applause, acceptance of, you know, how good I was, and I want people to tell me how good I was, and I want people to ask for me again, whatever it might be. Even a subtle feeling of that will be that there will not be authenticity in my sharing and my experience. And what people really, what Baba can work through and what others relate to is authenticity. Being who you are. Being what you are. Being where you are in your journey. If you try to be anything other than that, then actually the words sound good, but something is missing. People don't feel the strength and the power of those words. And the way I find it very helpful to stay clean always, and this is the only way I can express it, to always stay clean with whatever you do. The moment you've done something, when you've finished a task, drop it. You walk out of this room from here, or you've done something, you walk out of here, and that scene is finished. To let the slate of your mind always be clean and clear. not to carry perceptions and positions of certain things with yourself, comparing, competing, looking at others, all of these things pull me outside of myself, and do not allow me to stay clean inside. Do you know what I mean? In a sense that you walk into a place and you don't carry any, I don't know, messages, if you like. You don't carry any influences with you. This way, you are able to be free. This way, you're able to write on a slate that is clean. And it's extremely helpful to you, and it's actually helpful to other people. If you carry anything with you, people pick it up again. And the discrepancy confuses people. The words sound good, but I don't know if I can do this. It's all right for her, but it's not all right for me. This kind of confusion does not help people, because what happened is that Baba wasn't present. Baba wasn't there with you. It's got the title of doing service, but it didn't carry the impact that any godly service is supposed to carry, and that is to bring others close to God. It's supposed to bring you close to God too. And if it doesn't do that, and it doesn't do it simply because I had other agendas. If I have other agendas in what I do for whatever reason, whether it's pleasing one particular individual, whether it's a particular individual that's in front of me, or whether it's pleasing my senior or pleasing someone else, then the agenda is not the right agenda. The agenda is not of allowing others to experience God, for myself to experience God. And so being useful to God is very easy in that sense. And the biggest thing that I have to let go of is this language that Baba uses, is the consciousness of I. And actually, one easy way to describe the consciousness of I is selfishness. How in subtle ways we become selfish. Selfish in that I do what I want, when I want, as much as I want. I do it because I want to do it, but not because it's needed to be done. This is extremely subtle. Extremely, extremely subtle. That so often we do things because we want to do them, not because they're needed to be done. And when I am available to do what is needed, then actually it is not possible that when I need something, when I need Baba to be there for me, he's not there. It's not possible. He won't be there. And so I like the idea of being a tool, and the tool is my intellect. The tools are my time, my availability, my body, my breath, all of these different aspects. When I just make them available to God as and when necessary, then actually I learn so, so much. When I came to Baba, I knew nothing. I was totally inexperienced. But right from the beginning, I was aware that I had chosen this life. In the beginning, I felt that I had chosen this Brahmin life, and so I had to make it work. And that I wanted to do something. But the second aspect of this, I wanted to do something, was that whenever I was asked to do something, I will never say no. And that's why I ended up doing things that I had never ever done before, and I would never have done had I not always said yes. In some amazing ways, if you like, to the extent that when I was working with some Lokik people as service, Lokik people would offer me jobs. And they would say, here, do you want to work for me? And I would say to them, you'd never be able to afford what I get paid here. With the Brahma Kumaris, of course. With God, would anybody be able to afford BKs? They can't, because they can never pay you what God pays you. And so it's just been such a growing experience. And I found that that all the opportunities that I had come my way, it was as if Baba, Drama, specially created them for me to keep me entertained, because I get bored very easily. And so every now and again, there'd be something new, something different, a new project, something new to get involved in. And from the major service projects, always my feeling is that Baba created for me to keep me entertained, to keep me busy. But I always had to just say, okay. Otherwise I would have got stuck, and I would have never learned and grown in terms of spiritually, but grown in terms of dealing with Lokik people, Lokik situations that I had never dealt with before. So the essence, just to be available. Always say yes. Always keep yourself clean. To be neutral. To be non-judgmental towards people. So that when the opportunity presents itself in front of them, through you, to take from God, then they're able to see that opportunity and accept it and receive it. Otherwise, they miss out. You miss out. God will find anybody. You know, Baba has how many children? 800,000 Brahmins, 750,000 Brahmins, whatever it might be. But do you think everybody's useful to Baba? I don't think so. So the next question would be, I have to ask myself, am I useful to God? If not, or to what percentage am I useful? And if I'm not, what do I have to do personally to become useful? Om Shanti. We are supposed to have meditation now, and if anybody has a burning question, then we can take it up, but otherwise we can have our half an hour's meditation. Okay, so let's have meditation.